Well, Hebrews chapter 11 this morning, we're going to read the last verses 15 and 16. And let's pick up just a little bit before that, because we're going to look at verse 13 briefly this morning and what I have on my heart and what the Lord's put there in my heart. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. As a child of God who's trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, I am thankful that the Lord has prepared for me, one of his dear children, a city. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't know it, you may not walk in it, but you are a sojourner here. And as sojourners here, Christ has prepared for us a city. And I'm looking forward to that day when I get to see that city. Amen? But more than the gold, more than the silver, more than all the mighty things that God has prepared for them who know him, more importantly is us to understand that it's the presence of God that matters in eternity. Well, I have loved ones there. I've got a sister there. She died 1 week from being 8, went home to be with the Lord. But heaven is not just my sister, though it's part of it. Heaven is being in the presence of God and being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light. And we think about those who have trusted. The question I want to bring us into before I go into the lesson this morning is this question: have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Have you personally trusted his finished work? We've talked about his finished work in the book of Hebrews, have we not? How great his work was for us. How sufficient the Lord Jesus worked for us on the cross of Calvary concerning canceling our sin was. How complete it was. Have you trusted personally the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, whether you like it or not, you're one of his dear children. Now let me stop here just for a minute. Well, what do you mean if I like it or not? Shouldn't I like it? I did not always enjoy being the son of Norris Ward. Why? Because I was Todd Ward. And because the seat of knowledge had to be applied, or the board of knowledge had to be applied to the seat of learning sometimes, I did not enjoy being Todd Ward. Or the son of Norris Ward. But that's what God does with his children. He chastens us. He works in us. And he makes us what he wants us to be. For his pleasure and his glory. Amen? And I'm glad that because God does a chastening work in us, that's an evidence that we are his children. But I've come across this. Brother J.R. and I were out for visitation yesterday. We went to Sullivan area yesterday, and we had some good visits. We met some parents of some of the bus kids, and we ran into this dear, very, very friendly, very kind people. They were enjoying the weather, and the weather's been nice a couple of days, and they were sitting on the porch, and there was a man, and I'm going to make the assumption that there was a man and his wife that were there. And as they were there, we began to speak to them and talk to them about the Lord, and we asked the question: if you were to die today, do you know for sure when you die and you step from this life into eternity that you'll go to heaven? One of the dear ladies said, well, I don't know for sure that I know that. So we began to deal with her from the scripture. As we began to deal with her from scripture, she said, well, I did. I trusted the Lord as my Savior. So in the conversation, top conversation, I said, then what are we doing as his children to serve the Lord? Because that's what God has for us. We live in a wicked world that would destroy Satan, who's the prince of this world, would destroy the lives of those that he can, whether it be lost people that he takes to hell with him, or whether it be people who have been saved, trusted the Lord as his Savior, and he takes away their effectiveness and their testimony as Christians. And this is the thought process that I'm going to bring us to this morning. I want us to think about this question here found in verse 15. And truly, look with me in verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 11. If they had been mindful, I want to underscore that word mindful, of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Let me ask you this question. Do you have a loved one who you have evidence that they've trusted the Lord as their Savior? You may even have evidence that the Lord is dealing with them. They may not understand what's happening to them, but the Lord is dealing with them in a chastening way. And as he deals with that dear beloved one of yours, they seem to draw themselves away from God. How many know someone like that? Of course we do. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've drawn yourself away from God. You've drawn yourself away from all the blessings that God has for those who are his children. We have a story here in the book of Hebrews. We have this great hall of faith that we've gone through, and we've been given three names in particular where we get to this portion of Scripture, and Sarah, but we have Abraham. He left his country at God's command and never returned. And God never gave him his country. He promised him. It's amazing to me that Abraham saw with eyes of faith, left the place that was comfortable to him, the country that God commanded him to come out of, and he never returned. The product of faith is, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. The product of faith is, by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the proof of faith in the life. The Bible says that we are to, by their fruits, we shall know them. We can observe the life. We can observe a life and see if God is dealing in a chastening manner in a life and say, I wonder if that person may or may not be saved. It's not ours to judge the heart. But our fruits tell on us, don't they? If I'm honoring in the morning, and I rarely am honoring in the morning, my wife will come to me and says, the fruits of your conduct, she doesn't speak exactly like that, but she says, the fruits of your conduct, I can pick on her this morning because she's not here, and besides that, all you tattletale ladies will tell her anyway, you told on me last time. Yes, you did. I didn't see any men run to my wife and tell her, hey, did you hear what your husband said about you? She doesn't say to me when I'm honoring in the morning, the fruits of your conduct are point. She doesn't say that. She says, hey, you're just being rotten this morning. Well, how does she know I'm being rotten? Because I'm being rotten, right? She's be able to discern that there's an issue in my life that morning, whatever that problem may or may not be. And it's rare that it's me that has a problem. Now, she pray for her. I say lightly these things, but in the life of the Christian, When God is dealing with us, the proof of faith in a person's lives, in a person's life is the persevering life. Now, there may be times and there may be seasons in the life of someone who knows the Lord where they are, it seems, they are mindful of the country from which they came out. And it seems that their life has returned to the place from whence they came out. But the true child of God, one of two things will happen. God will chasten them, and as God chastens them, they will be drawn back to where God desires them to be with him. And or God will deal with them patiently. He's so merciful with us, isn't he? He's so patient with us. I'm thankful the first time that I look cross-eyed at my brother in the Lord, God just don't strike me down with lightning, aren't you? But we do sometimes, the first time somebody's crossed, I ain't ever talking to you again. Man, God is so merciful to us. He's so good to us. And the next thing that happens after he's been good to us, if we do not correct the way he wants us to correct us, he'll take us home to heaven. You can read about that in other passages of Scripture where God deals with people who will not correct. But there are people who have removed themselves from the house of God, And they removed themselves from the fellowship of the brethren and the fellowship of the sisters that they have in the Lord. And it seems as if they have left and gone back to the place to whence they have returned. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they did not return. For the child of God, our home is not on this earth. For the child of God, the resting place for our spirits is beyond the flood and among the unseen things. We live in a world of unseen things, and the lost world can understand why we have such hope in things we cannot see. I had one of the young men I work with it, got to speaking about some things, and he says, "What do you think about all this apocalypse stuff?" And I said, "I do believe the Bible teaches that the Lord is going to return for his own one day, and we're going to be gone." Now, he looked at me like I was the smartest guy in the world. You know what? He didn't. He looked at me like, "You're a strange animal." And the truth of the matter is, I am. And I'm a saved strange animal. And the truth of the matter is, one of these days, God's going to call us home. And because he's going to call us home, those who understand the word of God has been promised to us, We seem strange to people that are of this world and not of the unseen world. The home that we desire to have is a spiritual home. It's not a physical home. We're sojourners and strangers, as were our spiritual fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were. This passage brings us then to speak of some things that it brought to me as I was studying this, and I was thinking about dear ones who seemed to go out from the church. I believe some of them, many of them, are truly saved because they live in a lost world. They go out into a lost world, and they're like walking in a lost world with two left shoes on. You know what I mean? You're out of place, like a fish out of water. Never where they belong. Well, how do they get there? And when you're dealing with your loved ones that are in this situation, where you've seen them trust the Lord, you've seen them serve the Lord, you've seen them do things and endeavor to do things for the Lord, and now they're in a stagnant place where it seems that they don't want to have anything to do with God or his word or his children or his church. How did they get there? And how can we see to help them return to where they need to be? And it's dealing with a backslidden Christian this morning. There's four things I want us to briefly touch this morning. The first thing I want you to write down is mindful things. Mindful things. Look here with me here back in verse 15. "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country, they from whence they came out, they may have had opportunity to have returned." Let me share something with you. How weak is the nature of the human race? It would seem a miracle that we find a Christian able to keep his mind steadfast upon the world, steadfast upon the Lord for just a single hour and away from the world. You ever pray by yourself alone? And as you begin to endeavor to pray and seek the Lord's face, there is a battle extraordinaire that takes place in the unseen realm between the devils of hell and the Holy Spirit of God as he deals with you. Every distraction would come to mind. Why? Because of mindful things. It says right here, look at this word with me. They might have had opportunity. Things that we think of, things that we entertain, bring us opportunity. I want us to stop right here in our mind's eye and stop for a minute. I want us to go back to the children of Israel. We're not going to take it in the scripture for the sake of time, but you go back in scripture, and if you'll go back to the Old Testament, and you'll go to the Pentateuch, and you'll read the history of the children of Israel as they came out of the land of Egypt. They wandered around for 40 years, not going to the place promised to them because of mindful things. And there was a grumbling that happened to Moses, the chosen leader that God had chosen to lead the children of Israel. All of a sudden they said, "If we could just go back to Egypt, and if we could just eat the things that we ate in Egypt, oh, it would be great. If we could just have We're tired of this heavenly manna that comes down. And so our minds are now wrapped around a different appetite. Guilty. When we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, how happy we were, right? How joy-filled we were. Then we allowed Satan, through some messenger that he had, some mouthpiece, he said, "What a boring life you must live. Well, you can't even do this, and you can't 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 do this." Rather than saying, "You mean God sends you bread from heaven? You mean that God gives you birds from His own hand?" Isn't that us as Christians? Mindful things. We become mindful of the appetites that this world has to offer. Well, surely just this appetite for this entertainment's not going to hurt me. It may. It's just a little bit part of the world. That's what's happened to the church all across America. They've given themselves over to appetites that are appetites from the world. But we become guilty if we're not careful. I become guilty. Oh, well, there's nothing wrong with this, as opposed to better things from God. And so we'll have conversation with brothers in the Lord, and there's nothing wrong with conversation with brothers in the Lord, but many times that appetite replaces the appetite from the heavenly manna from God as given to us from His Word. And the first failure in the Christian life, when we've gone astray, comes because of mindful things. That's why I'm thankful that we are saved and kept by His grace. Those of us who engage ourselves among ungodly men sometimes have opportunity, if we are mindful of their means to sin as they do, to fall to their excess of sin, to fall to forgetfulness of God or even their blasphemies. But the truth of the matter is, as God's children, we must be careful. Even alone, sometimes, the temple would take our minds, the tempter would take our minds from the Lord. Many of us men have our own businesses. We don't have to necessarily deal with the excess of lost men. And those lost men cannot be there to tempt us, as some men have to work among lost men. But even in aloneness, our minds can be taken away from Christ. And we should guard our minds and our hearts in Christ Jesus. The reason that we leave the Lord is not the Lord's fault. The reason that I leave the Lord is not someone else's fault. We often lay blame, with our mind to lead us to lay blame on others. And sometimes we shouldn't, because we have opportunity to return. Sometimes it's the warmness of lost friends from the past that we've come across. And that lost friend of the past is so friendly. "Oh, come on, have dinner with me," or "come in and eat with me." Pretty soon, so you know what? They're so friendly. They're so kind. And unlike the church, where it seems like people aren't kind, they should be, right? They make excuses. "Well, if that's the way the people at church are going to treat me, I'm never stepping my foot inside that door again." Why? Because they have become mindful of the things and the people and the entertainments and the appetites that all the world has to offer. And at the end of all of that, that mindful things leaves them to opportunities to return to where they came from, right to the door of death that the world offers. Opportunities abound to allow us to return due to the cordial invitation of the old world, especially when we don't love the brethren as we should love the brethren. Number two, I think of the word, not only mindful, I think this passage of scripture brings me to the word desire. Look back with me. Verse 13, "These all died in faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity of return. Verse 16. But now they what, class?
Desire
a better country. Not only are they mindful, the mindfulness, how we let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And our minds should be minds that are patterned after the Lord Jesus Christ. Our mindfulness needs to be patterned by God. The things that He would have us, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think. What do we think with? Class? Our minds on these things. And when our minds are not where they need to be, number two, our desire is not where it should be. But the scripture tells us, this great hall of faith here in verse 13, but now they desire a better country. That brings me to a question, class. Do we desire something better than this world? Do we? Has this world truly ever satisfied the Christian? It can't satisfy us, can it? Perhaps when in sin, and before we knew the Savior, and we lived in the old country of Egypt in our lives, it did satisfy us. A dead world can satisfy a dead heart. But a dead world can't satisfy an alive one. Because we've been made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care how far you go back. This is the problem with young people. I wish I had the young people here this morning. At the age of 20 years old, I said, I'm not going to go to that country. I saw where I didn't get saved until I was 21. But I saw the country my mom and dad were in. And I saw the things that they stood for. And I saw the blessings of God upon their life. And as I saw those things, I drew back from them because I was dead in trespasses and sin. But when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I became alive. There was life in me. After I was saved at the age of 21, I had opportunity to return to friends on an occasion that claimed to know the Lord as their Savior. And I took the opportunity and I returned to them, and I walked into a hotel room at a certain place where certain college students who were supposed to have claimed the name of Christ. In that hotel room, they were watching all kinds of filthy things. I'm talking about boys and girls. And I walked in there because I'd been made alive about 5 months earlier than that. And I was as uncomfortable as a rat with five cats around me. Why? Because I was alive. You have loved ones that leave the Lord and they don't ever talk to you. Don't think God's not done with them. Because the truth of the matter is, if they're alive, they're uncomfortable. Yep. And I looked at my friend, and he's still my friend, and I would call him today a friend, and I say, Troy, I don't belong here. Well, why? What's the matter? I said, I'm going to go back home where I belong. So I left that opportunity. But you know what the devil, he'll do this to us. He'll give us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to return. No matter how seasoned a Christian you are, if you're truthful, no matter how seasoned a Christian you are. Why do I know that? There's some big names I could say right now that you'd recognize the name that fallen. I'm not going to do it because that wouldn't please the Lord. It's not testimony for the Lord. The devil never quits. And he takes the mindful things and he turns those mindful things to desirous things. And we begin to desire things we should not desire. But when we desire those things we should not desire, we become fish out of water. What has happened to the desire of God's people that they have ceased to proclaim to be gods? What has happened to the children of God when they used to say, "Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought. Thou my best thought. By day or by night. Waking or sleeping. Thy presence my light." Why do we do this? And I'm going to give the answer. Why do we fall away from the desire that we should have for the Lord? The truth of the matter is mindfulness and desire. The Bible tells me in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man want, class, soweth, that shall he also reap." Let me ask you that question then. Are you a Christian this morning? Listen to me. Please look this way. Please look. Don't answer out loud, but please listen. So I know I have your attention. Would you look this way? Are you a child of God? And have you wandered and gone back to a country from which you should not return to? Then may I say to you, the reason that you have is because you've been mindful of things that aren't the high things, that aren't the better things. And God desires so much better for us. We desire better because we desire better of all the cauldrons of Satan's counterfeits cannot fulfill the better desire. All the dainties, all the leeks, all the garlic, all the onions, all the tastefulness that Satan would put out us from the land of Egypt have nothing compared to the sweetness of the water of life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't stay there. If you're a child of God, don't stay there. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, it's empty. It's dead. It's not worth it. Number three, I think of the third word, and this third word in this passage of Scripture is confession. Confession. Look at with me in verse 13. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them," and what, class? "Confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. May I say to you, Moses confessed to Pharaoh, "Just a stranger here, Pharaoh. Let my people go. Let God's people go." Joseph made a testimony to Potiphar's wife when he said, "I cannot sin against God." He confessed. Then there's Daniel in the lion's den to Darius. He looks up and says, "I will not bow my knee. And I will serve the Lord God. And I'll pray to my God the way I should." He made confession with his mouth. The three Hebrew boys in that fiery furnace said, "I won't bow my knee to you or to any other." Confession. Many times the reason we return back to the country from whence we came is not only because of the things we're mindful of, the things that we begin to desire, but because of the fact that we do not confess the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Are you with me this morning? We don't confess. We have opportunity just to simply, you don't have to be unkind. God, I don't believe God intends for his children to be unkind. We need to watch that, by the way, as God's children. We need to get off our spiritual soapboxes of unkindness to our brothers and sisters in the Lord and let God deal with them, because he's more powerful than you. Surprise! There's many times I want to just open up and say, "Hey, you listen to me, you rotten, filthy, stinking rascal." You know what I have to do? Say, "God, your Holy Spirit's more powerful than I am. And would you just talk to that person? Because I don't know what to do about it." That's the way we ought to handle it, but we don't, because we think that we're little Holy Spirits walking around sometimes. Where'd right, get off on that rabbit trail. Hold on, let me go back to my notes. Confession. That's it. Confession. The lost man comes to me and says, blankety blank, 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 blank. That's my Lord you're talking about. Not being unkind, that's where I was, wasn't it? The Lord's done much for me. I had a young man, the current job that I have, and we were in a setting where there was many of us working in a room. We was doing some mechanical work. He knows that I'm what the Lord's called me to do, what the desire of my heart is for the Lord. Blaspheming the Lord all day. And sometimes it's hard, isn't it, to hear those things? But then he addressed me. Satan brought the opportunity around for me to do something. And that's usually what Satan does. Satan knows who we are as God's children. And he said to me something like, well, in all those blasphemies, you're probably having a pretty hard time of it when I say blankety blank, 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 ain't you? And I said, all I know, gentlemen, is that I used to cuss like you did. Called his name. And I used to blaspheme the Lord. And I used to use his name in vain. And I used to have a dirty mind. I was very gentle with him. I was saying it very quietly. I said, but the Lord Jesus Christ made me realize that I was a sinner. There's five guys standing around. And that I needed the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Lost, burly, cursing, blasphemous men got quiet. Why? We simply confess. There's no magic to it. I'm not a superhero. Every time I go soul winning, I have a tremble in my heart. We went yesterday and I was nervous. I've been soul winning before. Why is that? Because there's a spiritual warfare that takes place every time we open the Word of God. Every time we're given opportunity, whether it's on soul winning opportunity or we're dealing with lost men that we work with. Confession is not only good for, I guess, the soul. I'll have to stay that one out. How is my soul better because I confess? That's a good question. Because we come clean with God, right? That's why. But confession is good for remaining in the place that God desires us to be in. You don't have to be a smart aleck. Simply say, the Lord saved me. When I told him my testimony, I said, you know what they said to me? The guy looked at me, the same guy that was blaspheming, he says, I can understand that. He says, I'm just a wicked sinner. I didn't tell him he was a wicked sinner. He said the same thing about himself. Yeah. 2 months later, I've worked with him. He spoke the Lord's name in vain. He was taught, I'm sorry. Why? Because we confess. What does confession do for us? It gives us boldness to not ever want to return. Do you want to return to where you came from? Do you? It's not going to fulfill you. It leaves you, listen to me carefully, where you came from leaves you with heartache. Whether you're lost, or whether you're trying to return to the place from which you came because you are mindful and your desires have turned towards the things from which you should not, of which they should not be turned to. Mindful things. May the Lord help us. Amen. And when we deal with those who are either lost and never been saved, or those whom the Lord has chastened, and they're looking for the place in which they fit, may we conduct ourselves like the Savior would have us conduct ourselves, so we become the drink of fresh water and we become an example of the bread of life that they'll say, like that prodigal said, I will return and go to my Father. So many times in my foolishness, I have probably turned away those who have turned away from God because I wasn't a drink of fresh water that they needed. Mindful things, let this mind be in you, which is also Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation, put upon him the form of a servant. Are we servants to others? Then what are our desires? The desires are a direct correlation of our mindfulness. What we think about, we become. And then, are we willing to confess the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior? If you struggle with staying right with the Lord, confession to even lost men, the Lord saved me, that'll aid you, because it begins to give you a testimony which you desire to keep for the Lord.
Yes, sir.
May the Lord help us. Maybe this will help you. Maybe this will help your loved ones as you're dealing with them. Maybe you're struggling this morning and you've gone from the Lord and you're off again and you're on again and you're off again and you're on again. Just turn to the Lord. Just serve him. He loves you. And he loves us still. And everything that the world has to offer is just counterfeit. All the devil's diamonds are counterfeit, no matter how bright they sparkle. Come to the Lord. Be mindful of him. Desire him. Confess him. And the thing I love about the Lord is he just loves us all over again. It's like the little lost puppy dog, ain't it? The rascal does something he shouldn't do. What's he do? Pretty soon he comes back. That's the way I feel with God. Some God, I failed you. I've been what I shouldn't be for you. I've just failed you. Lord, forgive me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Oh, that we just turn to him. We just walk with him like we should walk with him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us this morning. I thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that thou art a long-suffering God. That you have finished the work on the cross of Calvary with thy blood you shed for us. For every man, every boy, every woman, every girl, you've shed the blood. You've shed your blood and you have finished the transaction, that all we have to do is receive by faith that you've saved us and will save us if we'll come to you for forgiveness and cleansing based upon thy finished work. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm also mindful this morning thinking about sometimes when people leave us and they don't come back, or they're prone to wonder, prone to leave the God I love. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that they would be mindful of you. Help us to have our minds upon thee. Help us to have our affections set on things above and not on things of the earth. God, I fall guilty and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me. We pray for Brother Reiser this morning. And dear Heavenly Father, as we come to the worship service this morning where we come and serve you and the preaching is given from the Word of God, I pray, Heavenly Father, that all distraction be placed aside in the minds of all of thy people. That in my mind, the distractions would be gone. That you'd fill Brother Reiser with your Holy Spirit's power. And those that hear the Word of God that may be lost, they would be saved. Those that are not right with you or their brethren and the Lord would get it right. And that we'd be obedient hearers of the Word of God. We care for praise you and thank you for what you do here this morning. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you're so long-suffering and your kindness is good from generation to generation. We'll praise you for what you do in this place. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. God bless you, folks. In our class next week, we're going to go to the life of Hezekiah.